learn for a Refuah Shlema for finding the name on my list here. Yehudit Bat Simcha Nachma. And you may have seen some editions have Nechama, some have Nachma, but I was able to confirm it's Nachma is actually the correct name. Does anyone else have a dedication for this year?
I'm just joining you now. Sorry, computer difficulties. Did you get the name right?
Yes. Yeah. It is Nachma, not Nechama.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Anybody else want to have any other kibbutim for this year?
Okay. I think that one's good. That one's good. So let's begin. We are, and so for those who are not aware, especially those who are not in Toronto and therefore may not know, there's a community Tehillim tonight, starting at 8. So I'm gonna end somewhere around 8:05, whatever it is, in order to be able to join that. It's for Julia Koshitsky. Okay. So the Gemara has been giving us this back and forth about Bia Rishona, initial relations on Shabbos, on Friday night, and then moved in from that into initial relations on Yom Tov. And the Gemara now reverts to the discussion about Friday night with a last step in this machlokes. And what I did on the sheet, for those who downloaded it, is I showed you how the Gemara really goes through 8 steps in our debate. So the first step was the 2 concerns that we identified. Is having initial relations an act of wounding? Is it an act of making an opening for blood to exit? And that was a discussion, and we talked about, is it intentional, not intentional? Then we reported that Rav and Shmuel were both reported as permitting by the people, either in their yeshiva in the case of Rav, or by the community members in the case of Shmuel. The Gemara then brought challenges to the view that Rav permits. We brought 2 challenges to the view that Rav permits. Then we brought 2 challenges to the view that prohibits. For example, we had the discussion about saying Shema Friday night for the Chasan. Rava said it's actually a debate among the Tanoim, and the issue comes down to whether breaking the hymen is a guaranteed result or not. We then brought a brief note about whether you could say that initial relations are permitted since one is allowed to pop a boil on Shabbos, but we said no, that's not the same case, they're physically different. And then we brought that Rabbi Ami and Rav Zvid permitted, and possibly even Rav Zvid did initial relations himself on Shabbos. Then we went to an interlude about Yom Tov, and now we come back to discuss Rabbi Yochanan's view, and there are 2 versions of what Rabbi Yochanan said, and that's really the last stop before Psak on this. But in the discussion about Rabbi Yochanan's view, we get a very interesting insight into language used in the Gemara, and the way we approach Psak, the way we approach Paskening things in general. So I'm going to share the Gemara with you. We're on Zayin Amud Aleph, and we are just scrolling down. Here we go. If you see where the lines get wide, and you go up from there, about 10 lines up, a dozen, 10 lines up or so from there, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. That's what we're up to. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi gave us a report on what Rabbi Yochanan's position was. We're going to have 2 different views presenting what Rabbi Yochanan said, which is not unusual. That happens with Rabbi Yochanan, that Amoraim disagree about what Rabbi Yochanan said. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi said, Hora Rabbi Yochanan Betzidon, Asur Livol Betchila B'Shabbos. He says Rabbi Yochanan ruled that initial relations are prohibited on Shabbos, period. But the Gemara says, we don't like the wording you used in order to say that. Specifically the verb that you used when you said hora. The word hora, or hora'ah, is a term that we use for psak, for giving a halachic ruling. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, tells us that the language we use when someone receives smicha, when someone is ordained to answer basic halachic questions, is yoreh. The question is asked, is he able to teach halacha? Is he able to be moreh, to provide hora'ah? And the answer is yoreh. Yes, this person is eligible to provide halachic guidance. The word Torah itself is from the same root. It means to teach, it means to show. It actually traces back potentially to the Torah in Parshas Beshalach. If you remember when the water was bitter after they went through the Yamsuf, after they went through the sea and they needed to find water, the water was bitter, and Vayorehu Hashem Eitz. Hashem showed Moshe wood to put in the water to make the water sweet. Vayorehu. Hashem told him, use that wood. There's also a pasuk in Yeshaya, es mi yored de'ah, from which we get the name of part of the Shulchan Aruch. So the term hora'ah is a term for a halachic ruling. But let me stop sharing for a moment and ask you a question. When someone gives a halachic ruling that a particular activity is prohibited, in a vacuum, okay, I don't know anything about the case. All I know is somebody walked up to the rabbi after davening and said, Rabbi, am I allowed to do X? And the rabbi said, no. What motivates the rabbi to say no? Besides not liking the person. We'll leave that out. What motivates the rabbi to say, you're not allowed to do that?
It's easier to say no than to say yes.
Yeah, so Marvin already catches on to where we're going in the Gemara. Sometimes you say no because you learned the sugya and you came to a conclusion, and the conclusion is the answer is no. But sometimes we're not really sure, and when you're not sure, it's easier to say no. Right? On the flip side of it, you may be familiar with a phrase the Gemara uses in certain instances, koach dehetera adif. Right? Koach dehetera adif means the power to be lenient is stronger. And what that means is, it's hard to be lenient. If someone is lenient, they have to have a lot of guts. They have to be really confident that they're right in order to be lenient. So that if I have somebody who, in the Gemara, has said something is mutter, I have to respect that. That carries a lot of weight. As opposed to, when somebody rules it's usser, it could be that they just don't know, and therefore said, all right, let's be strict. Easier to say no. And that's exactly the point here in the Gemara. Yeah, Marvin.
In this community, long before you got here, Rabbi Gedalia Felder was known as a great makel. Because he was such a Talmud Chacham, he was able to find the terim for a lot of things which most Rabbanim would just say no.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that when somebody permits, sometimes it's because he doesn't know what he's talking about, and sometimes it's because he knows what he's talking about. That's exactly the challenge is to know which it is. There's a note in the chat, Marvin. Or is it just sent to me? It was just sent to me, asking if I've read Rav Felder in Nachlas Tzvi, Volume 2, Aposik V'Halacha B'Yisrael. And the answer is no. I've only read large swaths of Yesod Yeshurun. I haven't read the piece that this person is asking me about. But in terms of his application here in the Gemara, the Gemara's point is Marvin's point, which is, sometimes you say no, not because you know the answer is no, but because you don't know that the answer is yes. And if so, if that's what you're saying, that's legitimate in halacha. It's legitimate to say, I don't know, therefore don't do it. However, don't call that a psak. That's not poskining something. You didn't poskin anything. And therefore you shouldn't use the word hora'ah. So let's go back into the Gemara.
Rabbi, wouldn't that depend on who's doing the poskining? I mean, you know, on the Shabbos, if you look at, for example, Cousin Ish was very machmir in many things, would you say, oh, that's not a hora'ah?
It depends. If his reason for being machmir is, there's a machlokes we shown him, and I don't know which way to go, that's not a hora'ah. The Chazon Ish wouldn't call it a hora'ah. Hora'ah means, I went through the issue, I really understand, and the conclusion is usser. Don't take
that's
my...
the assumption for some, for, you know, something like Chazon Ish, or in the are that
it's not about the caliber of the posek, and the proof of that is that here they're saying this about Rabbi Yochanan. As otherworldly as the Chazon Ish was, he wasn't Rabbi Yochanan. It's not about who the person is. It's about just what the motivation is to say Usser. The person who wrote me the message about Raffelder before writes, in a nutshell, Raffelder seems to say that if you don't allow something, because, hang on, I have to scroll, you don't understand it, and you are therefore being cautious, don't be a something, there's a typo there in the message, and you seem to agree, don't be a posek, and you seem to agree with him. Yes, I do agree with that. I mean, it's not, I think the Gemara agrees with that. I think Rashi here agrees with that. So let's share this, I want to share the screen again so you can see what the Gemara says, and you can see what Rashi says. Back in the Gemara, after this statement was made from Yaakov of Edi, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, that it's prohibited, the Gemara says, Umi ika hora'a le'isser. Since when does the term hora'a apply to prohibiting? And here I'll show you, I'm just going to move this over so that you can see the full area on the screen. Look at Rashi. Umi ika hora'a le'isser. Umi kari isser hora'a. Since when do we call prohibiting something an act of hora? Mishum de kol adam rashai lahachmir. Anyone can be strict. V'ha'oser, and if somebody prohibits, ein ze smichas devarim. That is not a substantive statement of this is what you have to do. Sha'afilu min hasafek. Even if you're not sure, she'ein ha'halacha brurolo. Where he just doesn't know. It isn't clear. Hu bava oser, then he prohibits. Aval hamatir, but someone who permits, so mechal shmuaso, he is relying on what he's already learned from somebody else. O al svaras chochmaso, or on his own wisdom, vehi hora, that's when we call something hora. You're giving hora, that means you know something. Again, whether you received it from someone else or whether it's because you're brilliant, that's hora. Answering something, look, sometimes the answer is it is an insight. But usually we assume that the hora will be used to permit. So the Gemara asks the question, but here's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara is not leaving us in a lurch here. The Gemara answers in, if you see where I'm pointing here, if you're looking in your own Gemara, where the lines get wide, you go up six lines. In, the Gemara says, yeah, yes. Sometimes hora means usser. By the way, just know, the Shita Mekubetzes explains, when the Gemara asks this question, it's not nitpicking about the language. Why did you use the word hora? What the Gemara is saying is, maybe you got it wrong. Meaning, if you have a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan gave hora on this, maybe that means he actually permitted it. Because the word hora was used. That's where the Shita Mekubetzes explains the question here. But the Gemara says, no. Hora can mean prohibited. And we'll give you examples. Vatnan, here's a Mishnah. Mishnah is dealing with a case that's far afield from what we're dealing with. It's a Mishnah in Meseches Nazir. Rashi brings it here. Regarding a woman by the name of Hilni Hamalka. Hilni Hamalka is quite a story in her own right. We don't have time for discussing it in depth tonight. But Hilni Hamalka took upon herself to be a Nazira for 7 years. Her son went out to war. Rashi gives you a note here. Her son went out to war, and she took a vow that she would be a Nazir for 7 years. However, she was outside of Israel when she did that. And if you're outside of Israel, then there is a certain native impurity involved. Automatically, there's Tumah D'Rabbanan, whatever, outside of Eretz Yisrael. And then, after her 7 years, she came to Israel. And the Mishnah says, Ho ruha beis Hillel shetehe nazira od sheva shanim acheros. Beis Hillel said, you're a nazira for another 7 years. That sounds like you're being strict. And yet the term used was ho ruha. They gave a hora. Ve'inami, or I'll give you another example. Ki hadesanya, the following law in the laws of trephos, the laws of animals which are considered to be mortally wounded. Chut hashedra shenifsak birubo. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says if an animal's spine is split, like horizontally, but the majority of the way through, that animal is a trepha. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Afilo Nikav. Rabbi Yaakov says, even if it's not split that much, but it's punctured, the animal is a treifa. And Hora Rebbe ki Rabbi Yaakov. And Rebbe, who presented the first view, that it's only if it's severed, turned around and ruled like Rabbi Yaakov. And the word Hora'a was used. So he, again, was strict. And then on that, parenthetically, Amar Rav Huna ein halacha ki Rabbi Yaakov. Rav Huna says, yeah, but we don't follow Rabbi Yaakov. Fine. But the point here is, two examples of using the word Hora'a to prohibit. Pause here for a moment, and I'll ask you a question. Why did you need two cases? Why wasn't it sufficient to bring one case, your first case, the Nazir case? Or the second case, the Treifa case? Why did you need two cases? What does one add that the other one did not?
Majority.
What do you mean, majority?
Well, you know that in two cases, actually you just said one case where it was a doubt with it, it means that it was a ruling. In another case where potentially it does mean it was a ruling, you don't know which way to go. But if you have two cases that you know, okay, in those two cases, it's definitely used to mean a specific ruling, then that means that, okay, therefore, in this case, you can assume that it's used to mean a ruling as well.
Right. So if I understand you correctly, Ilan, what you're saying is you need two cases in order to prove that the first one wasn't a fluke?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'd like to go beyond that and suggest...
Those are argued that, you know, one is Nazirus, which is one category. The other one is Kuma, is Trafa, which is another category.
So if Simi goes where I want to go with this, which is to suggest that the second case is adding something. It isn't just that, look, I can bring you two. The truth of the matter is, if you look in the commentators on this Gemara, some of them bring many more examples than just two. But that actually we're adding something by having these two. So Rav Simi suggests maybe because these are in two different areas of halacha. One is Nazirus and one is Kashrus, which is an interesting option. The Aruch Lener takes an easy approach. The Aruch Lener is not on our sugya. He's in the Gemara Nida Daf Nun Ches. And the Aruch Lener says, because your first one is a Mishnah and your second one is a Brisa. So we want to see different kinds of texts that use the term Hora'a in this way. But I like the answer the Shita Mekubetzes brings. The Shita Mekubetzes is very helpful in this. The Shita Mekubetzes says, in the first case, it clearly was not a chumra out of doubt. Meaning, you're dealing with the queen. You don't say to the queen, you have to be a Nazira for another 7 years, unless you know that that's actually required. You don't mess with royalty. So, therefore, in the first case, the argument is, sure, there we use the language of Hora'a, but we only use the language of Hora'a because it was clear-cut that this was not done out of doubt. It wasn't done out of uncertainty. They knew what they were doing. Whereas, in the second case, if you go back to the language there, Rebbe had given one ruling. Rabbi Yaakov gave a different ruling. Rebbe turned around and followed Rabbi Yaakov. So there, I could argue that that was a case where it wasn't a certainty. It was an uncertainty. Somebody else says Usser, so fine, I'll say Usser also. And yet they used the term Hora'a, even though that's a less of a certain case. Leshita Mekubetza says that's what we've added here. We're showing the word Hora'a being used, even when it's not clear cut that this is the halacha. That's the idea. Yes, Clive.
Why did they make her do another 7 years?
So she had been outside of Israel during her first 7 year term, and if I remember correctly, it was a tumah issue. It was an impurity issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rabbi, just as a sidebar, does a malka have the same status as a melech, as far as contradicting and certain things that, you know, take the base then and testifying?
So I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I think it's just melech, but I can't prove that offhand. But here, I mean, Hilni follows whatever they tell her to do. Hilni is a tzaddikus. She's a very interesting story in her own right. Okay. So, going back to the Gemara, though. So, I'm just going to share the screen again. That's the first view of Rabbi Yochanan being presented. The way we have it, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Masni Hachi. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak taught it the way we had it. Taught it this way, different view of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Avo, that Rabbi Avo said, Shal Rabbi Yishmael ben Yaakov de Min Tzur, es Rabbi Yochanan Betzidon. Rabbi Yishmael ben Yaakov of Tyre, the city of Tyre, up north, asked Rabbi Yochanan in Sidon, which is right near Tyre, Va'anosh Shami, and I was there and I overheard the question and answer, Ma'u livo b'tchila b'shabbos, is it permitted Friday night? Va'amar lei asur. And Rabbi Yochanan's ruling was, it is in fact prohibited. So in step 7 in our sugya, again, for those who are following with the source sheet, you see it there, we have now reached the stage of Rabbi Yochanan, and the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan says, asur, and then the Gemara says, ha, just kidding, v'hilchasa, the law is, mutter livel betchila b'shabbos. The answer is that this is permitted. I don't mean that the Gemara is actually saying that they were kidding, the Gemara is not saying they were kidding, but the point is that even though we have brought serious voices to prohibit, right, we've now seen two Amoraim say that Rabbi Yochanan prohibits, we had Rava say that it's a machlokes tanoim, and there are tanoim who prohibit. Nonetheless, the answer is that it is permitted, and Tosfos notes that this was taken practically. So I brought you here at the bottom of the page, you can see, at the bottom of the Gemara, Behelchasa, the bottom Tosfos, Mutter Livo Betchila B'Shabbos, and Tosfos combines this with a separate kula that we talked about earlier in the Gemara. You remember we had a discussion in the Gemara, a concern that if you were to hold a wedding too close to Shabbos, either afterwards or before, someone might end up shechting in order to be able to have more meat for the meal. And they might shecht on Shabbos. So Tosfos says, V'helchasa mutter livo b'tchila b'Shabbos, initial relations are mutter on Shabbos. V'lo chayshinan shema yishchod ben of. We are not concerned that somebody might shecht a bird, that's the other discussion. And that's what we rely on, so that we hold Friday weddings, and they have the wedding meal Friday night. And that's okay, because initial relations will be permitted Friday night, and because we're not worried that they might shecht inappropriately. Got it? That concludes the Gemara's discussion of initial relations on Shabbos. So the next sugya, which we're just going to start on very briefly here, because we've got the Tehillim starting shortly, and I'm actually going to put a link in the chat as soon as I can stop sharing here. Hang on one second. I'm just putting a link in the chat for the Tehillim that are starting after the shir. But the Gemara is going to discuss what we call Birkas Chasanim. So, a few notes on where the Gemara is going here. First of all, the Gemara is going to do something here that's an interesting move. It's going to talk about first weddings and second weddings. But it's going to frame it that either somebody is Bachur or Bitula and getting married for the first time, or somebody is Alman or Almana, a widow, widower, and getting married a second time. The Gemara doesn't address the case of a divorcee. Nonetheless, that is subsumed under the heading of Alman Almana, widow, widower. The Gemara doesn't take the time to spell out the case. It's simply a given. So every time you see Almana in the Gemara, Alman in the Gemara, understand it means a second marriage, however one got there. That's number one. Number two, it's going to deal with two different issues that involve a newlywed couple. One issue is Sheva Brachos. Sheva Brachos, the 7 blessings that are said under the chuppah, as well as at meals during the first week after the wedding, but the Gemara is going to talk about which days and how many days, and it depends. Is it the first marriage for him? Is it the first marriage for her? That's where the Gemara is going to go with this. but sheva brachos, seven blessings under the chuppah. I will take a moment just to say, there is no such thing as a sheva bracha. Sometimes you hear somebody say that, I'm going to a sheva bracha, or I'm hosting a sheva bracha. There's no such thing. It's like berekis. There's no word bereka. That doesn't exist. Berekis is singular, berekis is plural. Sheva brachos, the seven blessings that are said, whether you're talking about the first night, whether you're talking about under the chuppah, whether you're talking about the whole week. So that's just to be clear. But that's one issue the Gemara is going to talk about, is sheva brachos. And then separately, the Gemara is going to talk about simcha, the husband's duty to make his wife glad. The husband has a responsibility, we've already referenced it in the Gemara, to make his wife glad for a certain number of days. Believe it or not, he makes her glad by staying home and not going to work. And that's for a certain period of time after the wedding. Clear? Understood? Okay, so let's do the opening line in the Gemara. And then we'll pick up with it, God willing. Oh, you know what? What's next week? Next week is March 7th? This February thing always confuses me. All right, so next week we actually don't have a shiur because we're doing Haggadah night next week on Sunday night. I'll email out the details about the program, God willing. Okay, but let's see the Gemara. So after we ended up with our conclusion about nishra relations, third wide line, Am Rabbi Chelbo, Am Rav Huna, Am Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Am Rav, a whole chain of Amoraim leading back to Rav. Achas Bisula ve'achas Almana, Teuna Bracha. Whether a woman is getting married the first time, or whether it is her second time, or whatever, getting married, doesn't make a difference. The bracha is required, by which we mean sheva brachos. Sheva brachos are required. So the Gemara is bothered. Umi Amar Rav Huna Hachi? Did Rav Huna really say that? The Ha'amar Rav Huna Almana Eina Teuna Bracha. Rav Huna said, a widow does not need a bracha. So what do you mean? There's no sheva brachos needed. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. That's not a problem. And the Gemara gives us our first answer. There will be two answers. But our first answer is, kan bebachur shenasa almana, kan be'almon shenasa almana. The answer is, it depends. If it is his first marriage, then even though it is not her first marriage, sheva brachos are required. That's the first approach. Whereas, if it's not the first marriage for either of them, then apparently sheva brachos are not needed. To which the Gemara says, that's not true. I'm going to say it outside because I'm running out of time. The Gemara is going to say, we know the origin for us, not the origin, but the way we know the laws of sheva brachos is from Rus and Boaz. And in the case of Rus and Boaz, it's not a first marriage for either of them. Rus, we know, was married to a son of Naomi, right? Whether it was Mahlon or Kilion. And Boaz, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, was Ibtzan the Shofate, and he was definitely married before because he had 60 kids. Ibtzan, he had a lot of kids. So we know this ain't his first marriage either. And yet they have Sheva Brachos. So the Gemara is going to have to continue with this. And there's a lot more to discuss about the source for Sheva Brachos and how we know it and so on. But because of the Tehillim now, I'm going to head out there. I'm going to put the link in the chat one more time. And God willing, she should have a refuah shlema. And hopefully we'll all learn together next week at Haggadah night, followed by returning to Ksuvos. Okay?
What did you just say?
Oh, it's...